I speak to you in the name of God, source of all being, eternal Word and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you, like me, enjoy a good whodunit? Whether it's Death Comes to Pemberley by P.D. James, or The Complaints by Ian Rankin, or crime novels by Nejo Marsh, Ruth Rendell, or Agatha Christie, there are so many good detective novels out there. Today, we're faced with our own whodunit, because whoever wrote the bulk of St. John's Gospel, the first 20 chapters, it is unlikely to be the same person who wrote chapter 21, from which this morning's Gospel reading was taken. Even the authorship of those first 20 chapters is disputed. One commentator coined the phrase, the elusiveness of certainty, and that certainly sums up our dilemma. 1900 years of tradition suggests that it was John, the disciple of the Lord. But was it? Writing in the second century, Irenaeus, a bishop, believed it was John, the apostle and beloved disciple. But then again, Eusebius, a 4th century historian and bishop, argued that it was another John, John the Elder. If we lay to one side centuries-old tradition and modern speculation and ask ourselves what we can learn about the author from the Gospel itself, the answer is very little. Two verses in chapter 21 claim that the author was John, the beloved disciple. But you've already heard that in all probability, chapter 21 was not written by the same person who wrote the preceding 20 chapters. And the tenor of those final words in chapter 20 suggests a conclusion to the gospel as a whole. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing you may have life in the same. The book is closed. That is surely a fitting ending to John's Gospel. Which means that Chapter 21 is an appendix, which someone other than the original author has added. So, following the convention of a good whodunit, we ask ourselves the question, why? Why did someone think there was need to write a further chapter? In large measure, it was to do with Peter. For alongside Judas, the great betrayer, Peter is the great denier. Peter, more than any of the other disciples, needed a word of forgiveness and restoration. It was Ernest Hemingway who told a story by way of illustrating how in Spain, Paco was a very common name. Apparently, an advertisement was placed in a Spanish newspaper which simply read, Paco, meet me at Hotel Matana at noon Wednesday. All is forgiven. Love, Papa. The following Wednesday, police had to be called to control the crowd of 800 Pacos, each responding to the advertisement. It's a story which underlies that common human need for restoration, forgiveness, and new beginnings. Peter is every man. He had betrayed his Lord and Master and had failed to live up to his own fine words when only days before he had said, "I will lay down my life for you." Peter was in no position to ask for forgiveness. Yet he receives forgiveness nonetheless. The conversation which takes place between Jesus and Peter, which we heard in our gospel reading, has been hotly debated because of the use of two different Greek words for love: philo love and agapo love. Jesus twice asks if he has Peter's agape love, and Peter twice answers that Jesus most certainly has his philo love. Then the third time, Jesus uses that same word as Peter and asks him if he has his philo love. And Peter is crestfallen. So, what's going on? Is it just a case of semantics? Jesus is asking Peter for agape love, sacrificial love, for Peter to love Jesus above all things and all people, including himself. Peter responds with profound honesty, using the word philo love, which is a less demanding expression of love. Philo love speaks of a love which is found between brothers. Lord, you know that I love you only with brotherly love. Jesus presses Peter a second time and asks for the higher agape love. But Peter cannot bring himself to claim a love which patently he'd failed to deliver in the courtyard of the high priest's house. On asking a third time, Jesus acknowledges Peter's honesty and says, in effect, "That's all right, Peter, but do you love me with brotherly love?" Peter, crestfallen Peter, is disappointed in himself and says, "Lord, you know everything. You know that all I can offer you is brotherly love." Jesus then shares with Peter that one day Peter himself will die a martyr's death. It is as if Jesus is saying, Peter, I do understand that at this moment in time, you can only love me with the love of a brother. But there will come one day when you will finally be willing to die for me and will fulfill those other words you uttered once when you said, "I will lay down my life for you." Then you will prove your agape love for me. On the back of this conversation, Jesus now makes Peter the chief pastor, asking him to tend, to feed, and to keep the sheep of his pasture. Peter is restored with the selfsame words he had heard from Jesus on that very first occasion when the two of them had met, when Jesus had said, follow me. We have come full circle. The first words to Peter now become the last word. Follow me. As a post-resurrection story, it is an understated episode. There is quiet acceptance of Peter just as he is, while at the same time giving Peter the greatest of all tasks, leadership of the flock. Peter's leadership of the church will cost him his life. Crucified upside down because he does not feel worthy of dying as his master had died. Peter is every man. Peter is you and I. For like Peter, we have our unfinished business, the unfinished business of our own failures, which only the hope and grace of Jesus' resurrection can address. Jesus forgives our failures. Jesus recognizes our limitations. But Jesus says to you and to me, follow me. The risk, of course, is that in following him, we may be required to demonstrate not philo love, but agape love. Are you and I prepared to follow Jesus by offering those around us, the refugee, the sex worker, the migrant, the rough sleeper, the homeless, the drug addict, to offer those around us in this country and beyond that more costly, more sacrificial, more challenging agape love? If we do, who knows where that might lead? Amen.